Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle from The Table in Uniontown. Thanks for tuning into our podcast this week. We're happy you're here. This is the live recording from this Sunday's sermon. We hope that as you listen, you'll more deeply understand the truth of God's word and how much he loves you. Let's jump in.
All righty. Good morning. Before we get started, I just want to go ahead and I know Michelle just prayed, but I want to go ahead and pray again. So let's bow our heads real quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you in prayer, thankful that we can be here together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can open up your word, and we just pray that, again, as Seth prayed, that you'll give us a new perspective today, that we'll look at this issue and look at it the way that you would, and I just ask that you'll use me and that we can all be edified and grow closer to you through our time this morning. We just pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, for those of you, I think everybody here knows this, but if there's someone online watching that doesn't know this, I'm not Joey Nigro. I'm not the pastor here. At the table, Nathan Martin, just a regular old member here at the congregation. As it's already been said, Joey and Sarah, they're on a vacation, and I asked Joey's mom, it sounds like it's going well. You never know when you got two little ones how that's going to transpire, but sounds like Dodger and Winter are cooperating, and they're getting a lot of rest and relaxation the way that they need to. But about a month ago, when Joey knew that he had this trip planned, he asked me if I would be willing to fill his void, to come in here in the pulpit and preach. And if I may be so bold with this being my first time being asked to do that, and who knows, maybe this will be my last time, that Joey asked me to do that. I want to talk about something that can be considered a little bit divisive. It causes a lot of division in our society today. And when I was wrestling with it, like, should I talk about this? Because Joey, he gives you a blank canvas. He says, preach on whatever you want. And in hindsight, I'm like, man, he should have just given me like 5 or 6 verses and said, try to preach on that. Because when you got all 66 books to play with and choose from, there's a lot to work through. And for those of you that don't know, I grew up in a family where my dad preached regularly, pastored for almost 20 years. So I've heard my fair share of sermons. I've seen sermon prep, and I've heard him say that oftentimes your sermons come from the overflow of what you're already reading or studying or thinking about. And I feel like that happened with me on this issue. It's something that hopefully over the next 30 minutes when we leave here, I feel like hopefully we'll be in the right headspace related to the issue. And you might be sitting there and wondering, like, what is he talking about? Like, he said it's divisive. He says it causes division. You might be nervous about what this is going to be about. Who knows? You might have already pulled your phone out and texted Joey and said, what'd you sign us up for? That's okay. But let's dive into it. I'll address what this topic is. So on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, I don't know if that rings a bell to anybody, but our country, the United States of America, will have another election day. We have an election day every single year. Every 4 years, we have a presidential election. And I think that's a topic that it brings up a lot of emotions. For some of you, maybe you loved U.S. government class. And maybe, you know, you love civics and you love looking into that type of stuff from the local, the state, the national level, and you just get excited to participate in something like that. Some of you, it might generate fear. Anytime there's a transition of power or there's potentially new leaders in place, it could generate fear. It could generate a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. Maybe even hearing me just bring this up right now, you're like, oh shoot, like he's going to talk about this. But whatever emotions or feelings that you get when you think about politics, you think about the election, you think about how divisive that is, over 2/3 of eligible voters voted in the last presidential election. That's 160 million people. So whether you just check out and you don't want to be in it, you're around people that are engaged in the topic, right? If you have strong feelings one way or the other, you're around people that have strong feelings the other way. Right, and I want us to think about how should we as Christians be prepared to be in the marketplace, to be at our workplace, and engage in conversation in a charitable way, in a Christ-like way, on this particular issue that so many people are thinking about. I've heard the old adage, and I had a great aunt, and she was great at this. She would come into a room, and she knew that if she brought up politics or religion, there was going to be some type of fight, or someone's going to leave the room. There's that old adage that you can clear the room. So hopefully no one plans on leaving now that you guys have heard the topic. I hope that actually today we leave this morning more unified under the banner of Jesus Christ, more loving, more hopeful for the future that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. And I guess my last little comment as I intro this before we actually dive into the word, because that's the important thing. This morning is not about what Nathan Martin thinks on the issue. It's not about even what we would say the table thinks on the issue. It's about what God's word thinks on the issue. So three things that you will not get from today that I will not do. I don't think it's right in this setting. I think it would be an abuse of the pulpit. No one is going to tell you that you have to go vote. No one is going to tell you that you shouldn't go vote. And I for sure am not going to tell you who to go vote for if you make the decision to do that. I think all those things, all those decisions, all those topics, those are things that you should pray about. You should continue to seek God's word on. And there's different convictions. There's different interpretations on those things. So it's not coming from me. You're not going to be told you have to vote, that you shouldn't vote, or who you should vote for. What we are going to talk about, though, is that we should pray, that we should practice love, and as a result of all this, we should have a peaceful perspective. And I know Joey has been on the J theme with, you know, the Jesus Is series and Jonah and the book of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. Well, I landed on the letter P, so we're just going to deal with it. Pray, practice love, and have a peaceful perspective. Now that we've got that taken care of, I think it's time, though. Let's go ahead and dive into God's word. So if you open up your Bible, or if you just want to follow along, it'll be behind me. The first passage that I want to read here is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'll give you guys a second. It's behind me. We're good to go. All right. It reads, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." And then if you flip over, we're also going to read right now Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And if you're a note taker, I'd just go ahead and advise you jot that down on both of these passages. There's a lot more to them. But Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And that passage says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Both of these letters, both 1 Timothy and Romans, are written by the Apostle Paul. All right, and while both books dive into a wide variety of topics, in the book of 1 Timothy, the letter to Timothy, there's, you know, instructions about church leadership. In the book of Romans, there's, I mean, deep, 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 rich theology. The Romans Road of Salvation, maybe you've heard of. And if you want to dive into some of the richness of that, I know Joe led our men's Bible study through the book of Romans. It took him about 2 years to get through it. Keith was there for every session. He remembers. Joe can fill you in on some of those deeper issues, but we're just going to kind of pull these passages out and address them here this morning. And I think looking at the 1 Timothy passage, our first mandate as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, is that we are to pray for our leaders. Pray for your leaders, whether you like them or you don't like them, right? And what our prayer is centered around is so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life that's in a dignified way. So as we head into the coming weeks, or even right now, right after the dust has settled and votes have been tallied, my question to you guys and to myself, because as I was preparing this, I was asking myself, because Lord knows I fall short in this area. Are you praying for your leaders? Are you praying for your leaders? In Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear as he gets to the end of this letter, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. All right? God has a plan. I don't know who's going to win the election at the national levels, the state levels, the local levels. I don't know. Right? We don't know why the candidates that we're looking at here, it's Kamala Harris, it's Donald Trump, right? Maybe you love one of those candidates. Maybe you don't like either of them, or maybe you live under a rock and I just said those names and you're like, who in the world are those people? Okay? If you don't support either candidate or you decide not to vote, will you still pray for the leadership that's in place? Right? God has placed us in this time, in this country, for a reason. Will you still pray? Whether or not you like that person, whether or not you like who's in that position of power, right? And as I said, the prayer should be, obviously you want that person to have wisdom. You want the Lord to move. And honestly, I think you want the Lord to act on their life. But really, as a Christian, as the church, we want to lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, right? That's what we want. And as a result of that, that's what it says in 1 Timothy. Then the gospel can spread. The kingdom can continue to grow if we're given that opportunity. And just to add some context, in addition to my dad preaching for so long, he's been a history teacher at some small Christian schools. He loves history. So I thought, hey, let's have a little bit of a world history lesson for those of us that don't know or don't remember or you slept through that class. The Roman Empire, that's when Paul is writing these letters both to the church in Rome and to Timothy. And most historians would agree that Paul wrote Romans sometime between 57 or 58 AD and 1 Timothy sometime between 62 and 66 AD, which means that the emperor, the Caesar at that time, was a guy named Nero. All right. And if you know anything about Nero, if you've ever watched a documentary or read anything about him, just one brief quote from a PBS article I found just that could try to bottle it up and explain who he was. It says, Nero had a dark side. His impulses began as simple extravagance. Before long, however, stories were circulating that he seduced married women and young boys, and that he had a castrated and married male slave. He also just liked to wander the streets, murdering innocent people at random because he could. Historians also say that he burned Christians alive in his garden, making them human torches, and he blamed the church there in Rome for the great fire of Rome that destroyed nearly two-thirds of the city districts in 64 AD. That is the guy Paul is telling the Roman church to be subject to, that the Lord has put there. Do we know why? No, right? This is one of the leaders that Paul is telling the church to pray for. I don't know about you, but it seems pretty obvious to me that Nero is a terrible dude, right? Just hearing that, and if you want to go Google it yourself, you'll see more information, more stories about that, right? So whatever you think about the candidates that we face at any election, right, presidential, Senate seats, you know, state seats, we're asked to pray for them. Whether you think they're the worst person you've ever seen, they're the worst possible candidate, we're asked and we're called to pray for our leaders. We're called as the church to do that. And we just should trust God's plan in that. That's the first thing I want us to take away this morning. Number two, I think we should practice love. We should practice love. If you open up the Gospels and you go to John chapter 13, here is Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly life. He's giving some final instructions to his disciples. John chapter 13, I'm going to just read verses 34 and 35. Again, I would encourage you to read the rest of the context surrounding these verses. But in verse 34, it says, and these are the words of Jesus, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then flip back a little bit more to Matthew chapter 5 during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus makes another point that I think, if there's any questions about who you're supposed to love, this will clear it up for us. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, which maybe I should have just read that. That would have been a great sermon. Anyway, Matthew 5, verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I mentioned at the beginning, we live in a time where there's a lot of division over important issues. There's divisions in churches, there's divisions in communities across our society, and it's very easy to vilify the person that you disagree with, the side that you disagree with, where they become the worst thing ever. You make them a villain, you make them your enemy, right? And I think it's important that we take time to examine ourselves. I'm talking to myself here too. Are we loving one another? Some of Jesus's parting words to his disciples was that a trademark, an identifier, a way that people will look at you and say, that person is a follower of Jesus. That person is a Christian, is the way that you have love for one another. Can people look at you and say that? That's the question we should be asking ourselves this morning. You want people to know that you're a Christian. I ask myself that sometimes, you know, like, what type of testimony am I leaving in the workplace with the people that I interact with? Do they just know that I'm a Christian? You want them to know? Love them. You want people to see that you're different than the world and different than maybe someone that would be described in Jesus' day as a pagan or a tax collector, as a Gentile during Jesus' day. You want people to know that you're different? Love your enemy. Love that person that's hard to love. Now, when I say love, it doesn't necessarily mean that you support or tolerate every single idea that's thrown out there. All right? As Christians, we know that we can read in Scripture that there's just one truth. All right? And in Jesus's, in Joey's sermon series, Jesus Is, he'll address that. In John, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Joey will address that more. But so it doesn't mean that you can't disagree with somebody, though, and still show them charity and still show them love. It doesn't mean that you can't vote differently than somebody or know somebody that chose not to vote and still love them, right? That is what Jesus is asking us to do. I feel like in this toxic environment that we have right now, it's common just to write somebody off and say, they'll never change, we'll never agree, instead of finding common ground with each other, right? And if you're talking to somebody or you're interacting with somebody that is a Christian, the common ground should be the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where our common ground should start. We should keep the main thing, the main thing. The fact that Jesus came to this earth, he was the Son of God, he was a human being, fully God and fully man, was tempted and didn't sin, and then he died the death that we deserved. He was buried, he rose again 3 days later, and now we have a hope to look forward to his return one day. That is the main thing. May we as a church be known for how we love each other, how we love those that are different than us, that think different than us, that maybe believe something different than us, that maybe vote different than you or have a different opinion about politics. May we be a church that loves them in a way where they ask questions that will bring them to Jesus. I think it's clear that we're called to pray. I think it's clear that we're called to practice love. my third point is that we should have a peaceful perspective. And Seth, when he prayed, he mentioned lead with a new perspective. My wife, Michelle, thinks that I use that word way too much in conversations that we have. It's like my word, like put it in proper perspective. And I think that we should, as Christians, have a peaceful perspective. In John 14, 27, that's not up on the screen, but Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." There's a lot of fear around this topic. There's a lot of anxiety, right? And here's Jesus talking about we can live in peace. We can live in peace, but how can we live in peace? I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, does Nathan ever watch the news? Does he ever get on social media? Does he see some of the stuff that's being said and being articulated, some of the ideas? And I would tell you, yeah, we should have peace through this. If you'll open up your Bibles, and this will be on the screen, to Philippians chapter 3. When I was a little kid growing up in church, it was important that you had a favorite Bible verse, and it was important that you had a favorite book of the Bible, at least where I was at. And somehow I always gravitated to the book of Philippians. I don't know if it was because it was short and I thought I could read the whole thing and felt like I knew what it was about or what. So I'm excited that we get to dive into a portion of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi here, starting in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." And this is really critical to how we finish up here this morning. Verse 20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." If you are sitting here this morning and you are a born-again Christian, right, you belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. If you are a Christian, your citizenship is not here on earth. It is not rooted in the fact that you are an American citizen. Your citizenship is in heaven. And I think so often we focus in on the 80 to 90 years or whatever time the Lord blesses you with here on earth, when our focus should be on eternity, right? Jesus says, you know, to not lay up treasures here on earth where moth and rust will corrupt. Thieves will break in and steal. Lay up your treasure in heaven. What is your perspective? Do you spend more time thinking about what's tomorrow going to look like? What's next week going to look like? What's next year going to look like? Or do you think about, man, I can't wait till that great and glorious day, when the clouds are parted and we spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is your perspective? And if you have this eternal heavenly perspective, we won't allow the ebbs and flows of each day or each week or each year or the next decade to change us. No matter what happens in the next 50 days with this election, it won't change your perspective. It might have an impact on the country that we live in. Sure, it might have an impact on the future of the United States of America, but it does not have an impact on where your citizenship is. It doesn't. Right? And that should give you peace. During the chaos, during the craziness that we live in, if you are in Christ, then what lies ahead is an eternal life. No more sin, no more death forever with Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That fact should give us peace. Now, again, as I was writing this out and thinking through this, it's very easy to type on a piece of paper, to type those words out. It's very easy to say that we should have peace. It's harder to live into that. It's harder to live into that truth, but I think it's important that we challenge ourselves and we chase that. We pray for that. Chase casting all of your cares and your anxieties and your worries about, now we're talking about anything. It could be politics. It could be about your job. It could be about some issue that your family's dealing with. Cast those at the cross, at the feet of Jesus, right? We truly serve a God who loves and cares for us. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your citizenship is not here. You know, I told Joe before I came up here, I heard another pastor use this analogy, so I'm stealing it because that's what great preachers do. At least that's what Joe said, so it's okay. So I heard this analogy, and, you know, when you travel, and this is true for me, when I travel and you check in to a hotel, I don't know about you guys, whether I'm there for a night, I'm there for a week, I don't ever take my stuff out of my suitcase and actually put it in the drawers in the hotel room. Now, some of you might be different. That might be what you do, but I live out of a suitcase. A week ago, I was in Kansas City. I lived out of a suitcase, right? And why? Like, why? They gave you this. I mean, it's a nicer dresser drawer than I got at my house. Like, I should utilize it, right? Why do I not use this? And I think deep down, there's just part of you that knows I'm not at home. I'm not at home. And that doesn't mean that you don't enjoy the amenities that the hotel has to offer. I had a king-size bed. Yes, loved it. You got in that shower. It's got great water pressure, great temperature. Amazing. I woke up that morning. Breakfast was prepared. There's a complimentary. Like, yeah, I enjoyed the hotel. But I wasn't at home, right? I wasn't at home. And if you are a born-again Christian, you're not at home. You're not at home. And I think sometimes we live like we're already home, right? Paul says in his letter to the church in Philippi in Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven, right? And if we can live into that, if we can focus on that, that is where the peace can be found. Brothers and sisters, fellow believers in Jesus Christ, just please hear me when I say we are not at home. Growing up, I went to a congregation, a church where we sang hymns. Like, that's what we sang. You open up the hymnal and you stood up, and it was a cappella, so there wasn't even a piano or a guitar or anything up there. Like, and we just sang with our voices. And I can remember vividly someone would get up there, naturally they're leading the songs that morning, and they say, "Please turn your hymnal to number 361. And that hymn was one of my granny's all-time favorites. And it was, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." I didn't know I was going to do that. I'm afraid that too many of us lose that eternal perspective. We become so focused on the here and the now that we forget where our citizenship is. We are just passing through. Don't lose that eternal perspective. Don't lose the peace that we're offered. That doesn't mean that things will always be easy. That doesn't mean that this election couldn't have an impact, again, on what things look like in this country for us today and future generations. But let me tell you, while you might feel, and I would say I'm blessed that I live in this country and I'm an American citizen, but honestly, where I find my joy is resting in the fact that we have eternal citizenship in heaven. That eternal perspective right there will give me peace no matter what happens over the next day, week, 51 days when we have this election, or what happens 10 years from now, I know and you can know that you are a child of God. Michelle, you can come up. As we finish up, guys, I hope that we've been challenged by Scripture, first and foremost, to pray. Pray for your leaders. We didn't really talk a ton about this, but pray for your church leaders, right? Pray for your boss at work. Pray for anybody that you interact with that you would say, man, they're in a position of leadership. I should lift them up in prayer. Doesn't just have to be related to politics. We should lift up our leaders in prayer. That should become a regular part of who we are as a church. I hope that we can examine ourselves to see, am I truly loving? Am I practicing love for those around me? Love your brothers and sisters in Christ, but from the Sermon on the Mount, you know, loving someone that loves you, that's the easy part. Can we love the person that thinks differently than us? The person that's being vilified, the person that would maybe be labeled as your enemy. Can you love someone that votes different than you or doesn't vote at all? You want them to know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Show them the love of Jesus Christ. And lastly, I hope that we're reminded that our citizenship is not here in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. No matter what happens, the next 50 days, the next 50 months, the next 50 years, our hope is in something eternal, and that should give us peace. I don't want to be naive, though, and think that, you know, I feel like my voice and my delivery is geared to somebody that's already a follower of Jesus Christ, somebody who has already accepted that free gift of salvation. And you might hear me and you're like, what is he talking about? Like, I don't understand why I would love someone that's my enemy. I don't understand why I should have peace. Why would I pray for that person? Right? We would love to talk to you more about that. I would love to talk to you about how you can have that peace, why you should pray for that person, why you should love. My friend Randy and my friend Kayla, they're going to be available in the back during communion. They'll pray with you. They'll answer questions that you might have. They'll be available. I'll be available. Just come ask those questions, right? And if you're sitting here and you're like, I know that my citizenship is in heaven. I know that's a fact, but I'm not feeling that. I don't feel that. I feel this deep anxiety, this deep fear about the coming days and weeks and months and years, right? Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. There is power in prayer. May we build a community today that as we step forward as a church, we're one that prays for our leaders. We practice love and we're filled with a peace because of the eternal perspective that we have. You know, here at the table, we take communion every single week. And it's set up in the back. On my left is just the regular offering. On my right is the gluten-free option. But we partake in communion as a way to remember the great love that has been shown to us. All right, it's a way that we can remember, why should we live with this peace in the midst of such chaos that surrounds us? We remember that God sent his only begotten Son, that he sent Jesus to earth, that he lived as a human like you and I, fully God, fully man. He was tempted, yet without sin. And then on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he took the cup, and he tells his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. So this morning, as we take the bread and we dip it in the cup, let us remember what we've been saved from, what we've been saved to, what we have to look forward to. Let us remember the great sacrifice that was made to save us, and let us look forward to what we have ahead of us, that citizenship in heaven. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we know that you are good. We know that you are in control. We know that there's chaos and just a lot of negativity right now, and we just pray that we can cast that at your feet, that we can trust in you, we can trust in your plan. We pray that we can become a people that is just known for the way that we lift each other up in prayer, we lift our leaders up in prayer, we become known as a people that, man, the table, those folks just know how to love. They make you feel loved. And we just pray that we become a church that doesn't live in fear, that we become a church that lives with a great peace because of the perspective that we have on eternity and what we have to look forward to. We just pray as we partake of this bread and this fruit of the vine, Lord, this cup, that we remember the great gift of salvation that we have in and through your Son, Jesus. And we pray all this in his name.
Thanks so much for listening to our Sunday service. If you're interested in joining us in the future, you can find us at 17766 Cleveland Avenue Northwest on Sunday mornings at 10. Additionally, we host a meal every first and third Sunday after service in order to fellowship with one another. Visit aseatforyou.org for more information. We hope you'll join us next week. Go in peace.